right, dear friends, and there are some of you out there who are just extraordinary people. All of you are, in fact, who are listening to this program. And do remember the age-old axiom of broadcasting or TV, if you don't like the program, turn the dial. So once in a blue moon, we get some low-life jerk who writes a complaining message. And they're, most of them are paid shills. This is what they do. The government does it. It's the big old deep state crap. Anyway, so, you know, if you don't like it, don't listen. If it's too much of a downer, don't listen. Go listen to Beef Stew or whatever. Whatever. Okay. Now, we have a lot to cover this hour. There's a lot going on. And let's welcome back my left hand and right arm or whatever it is. Welcome.
Thank you, Jeff. Good to be here.
You sound so perky all the time. I don't know how you do it.
I try. I practice.
Yeah. All right. We are in, and I think I said this some time ago, we are in a three-act tragedy, horrible tragedy. And I do believe that the third act is well underway now. And that is a combination of the die-off from 2 years of injecting human beings with this biological kill weapon that has so many ways of taking down living organisms. It's stunning. And we've tried to cover that as much as we can here. The other issue, the other half of Act 3, maybe the bigger half, is shedding. Make no mistake about it. Now, if you were with us last time on Monday, we played poor Mina talking about how there is no such thing as a spike protein. There is no such thing as shedding, on and on and on. That was about 4 months ago, she said that, something like that. But the point is that video is being recirculated for a reason. It didn't just happen. It's all choreographed, all of it. So, and that doesn't mean every little thing, but it means most every little thing. So Act 3 is essentially shedding. And if you are not yet able to understand the decision that you must make to minimize your risk of being infected, transfected, ultra-infected, whatever, you've got to stay away from the vaxxed. It's that simple. And I'm not belittling anyone here. You must stay away and minimize your contact with the vaxxed. We are getting more and more reports of the unvaxxed who hang around the vaxxed, ending up with clots and strokes and myocarditis, and you name it. We're getting reports. And I think this was the game, and I think ultimately people have a tolerance for it. We'll call it a threshold. And once that threshold has been met and exceeded, they're in trouble. Up until that point, if it's minimal exposure, our best guess is, and it's a guess, your body and its immune system can take care of most of that which you are exposed to, if not all. But you get past that threshold, you can't do it for a variety of reasons. We could spend all hour explaining why, but that's the truth. You've got to make a decision. And for you listeners who are vaxxed out there, just to understand that it's okay to try to protect those who didn't take the shot and help out a little bit. Say, you know, hey, I've taken three shots and I understand there may be a problem and I just want you to know I've been vaxxed. It's okay. Tell people. Communicate. And we have a chance then to save as many as we can. And we are now in a fight to save, essentially, the unvaxxed. That's the future. No joke.
Yeah, that's the priority at this point.
I wish people... We've had a lot of conversations about this, but I really wish people could understand that it's okay. You don't point and look and laugh, but it's okay to separate and insulate yourself from the vaxxed. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing at all. Shedding is real, and shedding is a killer. And yes, people have died from being victimized by shedding. All right, we've got a couple of readers here that I'm going to play some videos and hear from some of the masters. We've got some really good ones, especially John O'Looney, who's never sounded better. Okay, here's the first one. I'm going to do the first part of it and Eric is going to do the first part and I'm going to do the rest. So go ahead. She's really good at this. Some of these are written in such code because they don't want their posts to be removed by social media admins. So go ahead. Onward with the first one here.
Okay. Again, this is, repercussions of people having experienced consequences from being around the vaxxed and thinking that they're okay. And, we're going on 2 years now. I think it was March or April of 2021 when this first became apparent. And the first indication of it was the women experiencing heavy and in some cases debilitating, painful menstrual type bleeding. That has not changed. And it was followed by sometimes children or adults having nonstop bloody noses. And there were later reports that same year of unvaxxed people having spent time around the vax, developing blood clots and needing to have them surgically removed. So that hasn't changed. That is still ongoing. Even 2 years later, we still have people that have never heard of shedding. They've just been feeling crummy and they don't know why.
Right.
And some of them are really suffering some severe life-threatening consequences, and this is an example of that. Someone writes, I'm not surprised, but it is shocking. A chiropractor I see for other alternative services, with whom I've made clear my stance, and we do see eye to eye, shared with me a chiropractor friend of his, a non-vaxxed person, healthy, in his 50s, who went to the hospital for blood clots in his lungs. And they opened him up to remove these saddle-shaped blood clots. One got away from them in the scalpel.
Scalpel.
One got away from the scalpel, went downstream to his heart, and they lost him there on the table.
Killed him right there. Right there. He died.
That's, a casualty. He wanted to know what I believe about shedding. I mentioned the oil from pine needles, serrapeptase, and other things he can do to protect himself. I think he's legitimately shaken up, and know I speak his language, and I was happy to share some information because he knows not the status of all of his patients he touches. God help us all. Be safe and well, all us truth warriors.
That's the shocker, okay? An unvaxxed chiropractor working around the vaxxed all the time, obviously, became contaminated. Let's just use that term for fun. He got spiked, and the spike went into his lungs and began to microclot. So they went in and were removing them, and the scalpel was cutting one out, and that particular clot, little microclot, got loose and went right to his heart, and he was dead, right there on the table. Here's the first comment. This is a comment for this one that Erica just read. There was a very informative Twitter space last night. They are all recorded, so one can listen later. OBGYN docs, researchers, etc., talking about this shedding stuff, and they broke it down into layman's terms. I have learned more in the last few weeks from these open conversations than the last 2 years overall. Knowledge is power. It sure is.
I mean, can you imagine being in the dark about this for the last 2 years?
No. Yeah. No. So it's up to you out there listening, wherever you are around this entire world, share this issue, shedding, with your friends. All of our programs are up there for you to listen to, and they're labeled pretty well. So you can go to the one you want and feel free to spread it around. There's no charge. Remember, this is free radio. This is free information for you. And we're doing our best to make sure it's worth your consideration. All right, here's another one. This is from Judy. Or is this a response to Judy?
No, this is Judy.
All right, she's apparently a real estate agent. She says, I was called by my cardiologist for an angiogram for heart pains. It was
done
today.
Wait a second. You've got the wrong one. You're out of sequence.
That's the only other one I have.
All right, I'll read the first one.
Go ahead.
She starts off by saying, I am an estate agent, and we all sit in one office together. 5 out of the 7 are jabbed. In my whole office, 7 out of 11 are jabbed.
Seven
I started
out of
feeling
11.
Unwell
all right.
after our doctor jabbed last March, as we had to get antibiotics. Then it went downhill from there, with all the other symptoms making you feel terrible every day, until I was diagnosed at the end of September. I must say that my body struggles to chelate iron. I don't know if that may be a reason why some people are affected differently. My friend did not notice anything until it was too late. She has thick blood, higher blood pressure, and lots of iron. The only symptom we had in common was tremendous shoulder and neck pain.
That's big. There's your iron. You heard iron here first, America. Iron is one of the
Well, that exposure
key.
To the spike protein causes this dysregulation of iron. It takes it out of the blood and it puts it into tissues, and you, over time, will become anemic. And you'll be inclined to think, and your doctor may be inclined to think, that you need iron to solve this problem.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't solve the problem. You will feel better for a little bit, maybe 6 weeks, but it's going to add to the problem, which is the overload of iron in the tissues that's causing horrendous oxidative stress because of the microclotting.
Okay, part two of that one. Was called by my cardiologist for an angiogram for heart pains. That was done today in hospital. Veins are all open and clean. Then they did a lung scan. I now have little blood clots in my lungs, too. I did take all the preventive measures from the jabs as they came up. Nothing worked, but it may have been worse. I don't know. I'm just totally fed up with suffering from other people's choices. And she added to that, I don't think we should be around the jabbed at all. Is that too extreme? I don't think so. 7 of 11 people in her office shot up, constantly emitting spike and mRNA, and she just got dosed, went past her threshold. She couldn't deal with it, and she's now in trouble.
Now, she said she took all the precautions, what we know about anyway, and apparently didn't work. Now, that's not the first time I've heard that. I mean, we can't really say much because we don't know what she was taking. But I want to add, too, there's a trend right now, people taking nicotine somehow protect themselves from the spike.
Somebody's pushing nicotine out there, and I don't want to mention any names, but it's a snake venom. It's the snake venom proponent. He's pushing nicotine.
All right. I would be very, very cautious of that because nicotine will upregulate the expression of your ACE2 receptors, and that is the receptor, the preferred receptor of the virus and or the spike. The spike interacts with many, many different receptors in the body. It isn't just ACE, but those are plentiful. And by taking nicotine, you're actually causing your body to express more of those proteins. So if you do encounter the virus or more spike, you're going to have a harder time with it in terms of its ability to damage and inflame the endothelium and cause your blood to clot. I mean, nicotine is a known vasoconstrictor. It will cause your arteries to narrow, and it also makes the blood more viscous. So you will be more apt to form a clot by having nicotine in your system. And that seems to be one of the prominent consequences of shedding, this issue with blood clotting. less so than the neurological. I mean, the idea with the nicotine is that it's going to bind to or competitively inhibit the spike protein from docking on to the nicotinic acetylcholine receptor. Well, you can use other things to do that. You don't have to use nicotine. And I just, that's really not a smart thing, in my opinion, with this blood clotting issue going on.
Right. There are so many, quote, alternative approaches to getting past the injury things and the dangers out there that do absolutely nothing. And in some cases, they do the opposite, like nicotine. So if you're doing that, we'd suggest you reevaluate it.
Definitely.
Very carefully.
Yep.
Now, there's another thing that I guess a Brazilian scientist or researcher figured out, that people who have been vaxxed, and I believe people who haven't been vaxxed are suffering from the same thing. Because once they get dosed with spike over and over again, the spike causes microclotting. Microclotting could lead to bigger clotting, okay? So you've got a potential for clotting everywhere, from the brain all the way down to your little toe. It goes everywhere. So you pick up spike, biologically active spike, and you're going to get microclotting, period. It's going to happen. All right, thermography. It's some kind of technology that will read the body for temperature. It'll give you back a black and white or a color picture of your body showing different temperature gradients in different locations. And the black and white imagery shows the body, and it shows black little dots, little formations of black in the white skin. Those are clots. And in all likelihood, this is some kind of an infrared reading technology, thermography. And it's reading the body, and those black spots, splotches, and in some cases, long arteries or veins, long, like a foot long, longer than that, they're where the blood is no longer flowing and the temperature is lower. So the thermograph, the thermography machine, is picking up the differences in normal 98.6-ish temperatures and areas that have been microclotted, which don't have blood flow, and therefore a lower temperature. That's how we think the black spots are showing up. Many people have black splotches all up and down their legs, torso, everywhere, and they feel fine. They're asymptomatic, but they're clotting. And this is a tool that may come into play much more prominently in the near future. Thermography. Go ahead.
Yeah, that if you come across the video, it's really striking how you can see this clot that has formed in this person's leg. And he apparently was completely unaware that it was there, but it was significant. And it is a viable method for determining if somebody has, I'm not sure, microclots so much as, you know, a deep vein thrombosis. Areas of what they call ischemia, where there's not enough oxygen, hence not enough blood flow. So that might be another way that you could evaluate yourself if you think that you're having a problem or could have been exposed to the spike or whatever. The D-dimer, you know, it's somewhat useful, but it will miss these amyloid-type clots.
Doesn't read them, no.
And okay. I guess a normal thermograph of, it's about $250 if you were to pay for it out of pocket.
Look up in your local Google search for thermography, thermography, thermography. And you'll see there are practitioners who offer the service. Now, when you go in there, you're going to be in a room where other vax people have been, so we'd recommend wearing a mask. Ask the thermographer to open the windows, kind of air the place out before you go in there, and then get your test. If you want to get a test, that's the kind of test that might do the best in terms of letting you know, are you clotting? It's probably better than getting a D-dimer at this point. We used to think D-dimer was the way to go, but not with amyloid clots and plaques, no.
No, a live blood analysis would be helpful, and you can really see if the stacking is occurring, the low formation.
Sludge blood.
And if there's amyloid fibrils already in the blood.
Exactly. All right, another big story. The government, the king of Thailand, is with the royal family in Thailand, not happy with Pfizer because his 44-year-old daughter, the princess, has been stricken and is apparently on life support now. She's probably done. And she's got 3-4 shots, I don't know how many, multiple shots, through the courtesy of Pfizer, which signed a big contract with Thailand. And Thailand apparently paid a lot of money to get shot material brought in there to inject into the Thais who took the shots, which is a lot of people. Well, when the princess went down, the king went through the roof. And Dr. Sukarat Bhakti is a Thai-German, and he's going to talk a little bit about what the Thai government is doing. The king is suing Pfizer for billions of dollars. Billions. Now, here's the great Dr. Sukarat Bhakti on what happened in Thailand. And if more governments would take action like the Thai government, we might see a little interesting development or two. Here we go.
The Thai, by the way, Thai German, we will connect you with authorities and advisors to the highest authorities in Thailand. And this is what happened. And so I had the opportunity, the first opportunity in 3 years, to talk to the top advisors of a government in any country. And it was very, very impressive. One daughter of the present king, Ram the Tenth, collapsed and is in coma. She, within, I think it was 23 days after the third shot.
And she's young.
Of course, 44 years old, never been seriously ill, collapsed and is now in a coma. And the diagnosis that was given by the authorities and by the university is so ridiculous. She's supposed to have a bacterial infection that will never do what she's suffering from. So that was really...
Okay, that's a statement from Dr. Bhakti. And again, the Thai government suing Pfizer for billions. We wish them well. We wish them well.
Good.
44 years old, people loved her and gone. Imagine the rest of the population. I don't know what their jab rate was there, what the percentage was, but pretty high, I think. Not good. So some of you may be listening in Thailand right now, and you know all about this story. But it's good to see this kind of a response for once to the neck breather Borla and his evil corporation. Okay, we've got a new video. Anything you want to add here? We've got John O'Looney.
No, let's keep going.
All right. John O'Looney, he's a freelance funeral director in the UK, has been, from the beginning, obviously sparing no effort at all to try to find out what the hell's going on here. And he has learned so much. He has turned into a true oracle of truth and reality and wisdom about this whole horrific bioweapon attack on humankind. And there's a new video out, and we're going to play part of that, and we'll probably stop it and talk about a few things en route. He is one of the best spokesmen on the planet, right along with Sukarat Bhakti. So here's Dr. John O'Looney. Here we go. All right. Got a commercial to get through. Hold on. Okay.
Well, I am back at the... Are we in January or February already? I'm not sure.
31st today.
31st.
So the last day of January.
Very end of January 2023. And I am back here with John O'Looney, funeral director for Milton Keynes. Now, those of you that have been long-term viewers of my channels know John and I have had several chats in the past. And it's amazing to think we're here in 2023. And in some respects, John, I would say there's some good news in terms of where we thought we might be at this stage, but
yes,
in other ways, it's not good news. So
no.
First and foremost, can for those people that haven't seen you before, I mean, can you just give a little introduction as to how, as a funeral director, you started speaking out about what you've been seeing over the whole COVID pandemic issue?
Yeah, so for those of you who don't know me, my name's John. I'm a funeral director. I've been a funeral director for 16 years now. 10 of those were spent working for the co-op, one of the major funeral providers. And the last 6 years, I've spent running my own funeral home. To be honest with you, the co-op was great the first 5 years, and then the bank collapsed, and they brought the money men in. It was all about squeezing people for money to try and prop the debt up that the bank had accrued. And I wasn't happy doing that. So I kind of looked for a place, and I felt that I'd got enough experience then working for the co-op to set up on my own. That's what I did. So I've been working here ever since. For me, COVID first started in December of 2019, and I've kind of talked about that, how I stumbled across it. But what I saw in 2020 was just a plethora of lies. There was no real increase in death rate at all across 2020. In fact, it's very interesting. The vast majority of funerals we do in the UK are cremations. Probably a 9-to-1 ratio between that and burials. So just 10% of the funerals we do, 1 in 10 would be burial. The rest are cremations. There's a number of reasons for that, cultural, religious, et cetera, et cetera. But if you look at the cremation numbers in 2020, certainly here in Milton Keynes, the last time I saw them published, it was 75 lower in 2020 than it was in 2019, you know.
Wow.
You know, what can't people see? Yeah. So there was a brief blip in March and April, and that's been covered exclusively, you know, quite extensively with Midazolam and Matt Hancock's policies that resulted in the death of many people in care homes. But I was washing and dressing them throughout 2020, always mask. I never wore a mask, you know. I can't believe I'm still here. It's a miracle. You know, I remain unjabbed. There was a guy who began calling me in March of 2020. He said that his name was John, and he was calling me from a government-sponsored company. I believe it was called Pandemic Resilience. He would ask me several questions. He said that he was part of the response to collate the numbers, you know, and he would ask me how many I could hold, and I would tell him. And then he would ask me how many I'd picked up that week, and how many, where from, and how many were COVID deaths. And there were no COVID deaths coming through. You know, these were dementia patients, for example. I would tell him I'd had a dementia patient in. The guy had been in the home 5 years. He had onset dementia. I spoke to the family. They confirmed this. There was no doctor present because we were protecting the NHS, we were told. So doctors stopped attending deaths and were sitting at home with a headset on double the money, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it suited them nicely. And there was no COVID test done. I spoke to the staff in the facility. They said, yeah, he's been here 5 years. He had dementia. He insisted this guy was a COVID death straight away. And I kind of, it pissed me off because I kind of said to him, you know, I was making the effort to find out the information to give him, so it was accurate, you know. He said because one person, we'd been told one person died in the facility, we have to automatically put down everyone who dies as a COVID death. And the CMJ, I think it is, the who run the ambulances, the body that oversee ambulance drivers, they instructed all their ambulance crews the same. Everyone who gets on the ambulance is COVID positive. You know, and that went on throughout 2020, and there was no increase in death rate. We weren't snowed under. All of the hysteria, opening, you know, ski domes and stuff like that. You know, there were people dying that I suspect so much of that was from malfeasance, to be honest with you, and the clinical decisions that were being made by government, and it's enforced on hospitals, you know. But they weren't, you know, it just wasn't what was being shown on the TV. But what it meant was, even though there were no more excess deaths, there weren't any excess deaths at all. It was quieter than 2019. By the end of the year, there were a significant amount of COVID-labelled deaths. So, of course, on top of a media campaign, everyone was going, save me, save me, and rolling their arm sleeve up, you know, to be slaved with an mRNA jab. That's now proven to be very, very costly, as we see excess deaths going through the roof. So then in 2021, in January, they rolled them out, and the death rate went through the roof instantly. Yeah. And it was all people that were being jabbed were dying. And that went on for about 12 weeks. And I see it clearly. You know, I spoke to the families. Many of them were very angry. And they're all being totally ignored. So I then got a phone call from a guy called Mark Sexton, a police officer, a lovely guy, bless him, very brave and honourable man. And he invited me to a meeting in Westminster, and that was September the 21st. It was a Tuesday, and it was a 2 o'clock meeting at number one Birdcage Walk in Westminster. And he said that there'd be a number of eminent people there, and they'd seen what I'd said, and I was very vocal for some time before that because I care about people, you know. And they wanted me there to give my testimony to these ministers. Anyway, we got there. One minister never turned up. I'm not sure who it was or it wasn't. But the minister that turned up was none other than Sir Graham Brady. Now, Sir Graham is the commissioner of the 1922 committee. He's the most senior Tory politician this country has. He's part of the committee that decides who is going to be the next prime ministerial candidate. So he hired and fired Boris. He hired and fired, what was her name? Miss No One. Liz Truss.
One who can never remember.
Yeah. And he hired no one new and no one remembers. And he hired Rishi Sunak. So he's a very, very senior guy. He listened to what we said. We all had 10 minutes in our relative respective fields. You know, I kind of gave my testimony as a funeral director to what I'd seen. Didn't take me very long because I thought about what I was going to say. And we were kind of told, you know, this Sir Graham, his time is precious, you know. So every minute counts. So you don't have long to put your case across, you know. And I sat and I listened to what everyone else had to say as well. And they told Sir Graham, they told him the death rate would go through the roof in vaccine recipients between years 2 and 5 post-vaccine. So trust me, the next 3 years is going to be misery on earth with excess death rate. That's what they said. And bang on 2 years to the day almost. These people are dropping like flies now. Look at the excess death rate on the ONS data. It's gone through the roof. Look at what the life insurance firms are paying out. You know, it's record numbers of policy payments. You know, it's going to ruin them. It's going to ruin them. This is what's going to happen. So the next 3 years, the death rate's going to go through the roof. It's going to continue to climb, and it will be all vaccine recipients. That's what was said. And I sat there in disbelief. And then I looked at Sir Graham, and I kind of went there thinking, well, you know, at last someone's listening. Someone's listening. And we left. He knew. He knew. He actually admitted. He said it's above my pay grade. This is the commissioner of the 1922 committee openly admitting it's above his pay grade. And so clearly, they don't run this country. They don't run this country. World Economic Forum, BlackRock, Vanguard, that's who run the country. And I left feeling devastated. You know, a couple of the girls that were there cried openly. It was a really bad feeling because we knew that we couldn't make any difference. They weren't going to stop it. And we knew that loads of people would die, and now they are dying.
Yeah, and anyone who wants to see this, I mean, John's got interviews everywhere, and I'll put the links to loads of the people.
I've been shouting about it for a long time, because once you realise what they're doing, and you've got people like Sir Graham saying it's above my pay grade, for one, you realise governments don't run this country. Doesn't matter if it's Labour or Tory, there is no democracy. They're two signs of the same World Economic Forum coin. And Schwab's been very open about bragging about how all the governments in Europe now, he has over half of the cabinets. It's going to get really, really dark, you know, and I wish that were not the case. Nobody's wanting to be wrong more than me. But once you realise what's going on, you know that your only option is to shout about it, to try and generate some momentum, to get enough numbers to wake up quick enough where we can stop these people with numbers. And that's doable. That is doable even now. And I think ultimately, do you know what's going to be their downfall? Will be the death rate, because it's undeniable. You know, this death rate has only come on since these jabs took place. And now, of course, we're seeing very slowly these doctors are now starting to get some impetus behind them, and the bravery is starting to, they're beginning to realise there is no seat on the ark for any of them. You know, look at all the footballers and young athletes that have collapsed on national TV, newsreaders. All the newsreaders that have I watched a little one, I think it was a girl from New Zealand or Canada, had a stroke live on air. You know, what can't people see? Young people in record numbers, to give you an idea, when I worked for the co-op, so they're like a major funeral provider in the UK. And the particular hub that I was working in, there are hubs up and down the country, but we were doing about 800 funerals a year. I probably do about 160 a year here as an independent. And now I could count the amount of people pre-COVID. I could count the amount of people on one hand under 40.
Yeah.
I've seen that in some months now as a small funeral director. So I know I've got friends that still work for these big players who are inundated with young people, you know, in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, people that just don't die. They don't normally die. They're all dying now. You know, the coroner's paperwork all says the same thing. Death unascertained. Pending histology, pending toxicology. You know, I don't know whether they're... Well, are they kind of hoping that they're going to have a drug habit or something they pick up they can point the finger at? Or I really don't know.
Okay, the point here is that you're hearing it. The same thing's happening here that's happening in the UK and probably in many countries around the world, especially the Western European countries, Canada, New Zealand, Australia, and North America, not Mexico. And do remember, just for the record, again, all the invaders coming across the border are not being injected with this stuff. They're supposed to replace European Americans who are injected and who are intended to be gone soon. So this is the same thing, and he's overloaded now. Anything you want to add to all this?
Yeah, it's a carbon copy.
Exactly.
You know, they were operating out of the same playbook.
It is a playbook. It's all by the book. Don't ever forget that. Okay.
Doing autopsies on all these people?
Not all of them. Many are skipping through, you know. So I lost a very dear friend of mine that I grew up with, one of four or five in the last 6 months, who died suddenly from either very aggressive cancers or heart attacks or strokes. And this particular guy, his dad developed atrial fibrillation after the first jab. So he had to take it because he was blackmailed for work. So he took two jabs and he realized the mistake he'd made and he died suddenly from a heart attack. Now, we opened him up with his family's consent and he was full of blood clots, massive blood clots, yet it never made a mention of them. You know, there were so many, they didn't even make an attempt to clear them out. He was full of them. I've emailed the coroners. I've even emailed the chief coroner of England. So I emailed the chief coroner of England. I CC'd in around 40 doctors and scientists because I kept in touch with these guys that were at the meeting with Sir Graham Brady.
Yes.
They invite me to meetings every week. I sometimes sit in on meetings. I tend not to do it so much now because it's very draining and very depressing. But 100 at a time sometimes, 100 doctors and scientists, politicians, police officers, military guys, they're all in there. They all know and they're all too gutless to make a real stand and be really vocal. I suspect, you know, they're all on a register somewhere, aren't they? You know, they'll deregister. They won't only sack them, they'll deregister them so they can't, you know, do general practice anywhere. And the mistake I think that we made is we've made being a doctor a very, very lucrative industry. So these people have a certain level of money, rightly or wrongly earned, and they have the lifestyle that goes with that, don't they? And the mortgage and the car payments and the private school for kids. And, you know, they are not prepared to throw that away on the death of yet another stranger. That's the reality. Who can blame them? But at what point do you kind of say, well, do you know, there's a difference between one malfeasance or one tragic adverse reaction and dozens and dozens and dozens of people coming to you and you know where it's going wrong and you're not saying anything, you know. the Hippocratic Oath surely must mean something.
Well, what John said about his friend, and he said he'd lost four or five good friends, long-time friends, this year, is that when they opened his friend up, he was covered with clots. Now, this kind of reverts back to the idea of getting a thermographic scan of your body if you're worried about clots, because you will see them. If you have clots, they'll show up, and they can be on the surface or they can be down in. The thermography doesn't go all the way through the body, but it goes deep enough to show you where clots are near the surface. And I
think it is a viable method for checking for clots.
It's going to become very common, I think, with people. And what do? You go after, you got a big one in your leg, the doctors go after that. What about the other 30 or 40 that are growing, getting bigger all the time?
The normal anticoagulants will not touch.
Nope, no touch. All right.
Now, are you saying, John, with the families that come in, are you or your colleagues that you talk to about this,
are
people aware that it's vaccine-related often?
Yeah, of course they are. Yeah, of course they are. They're not stupid. And I'd be very interested to know the number of funeral directors that have been and had their boosters.
Yeah.
Trust me, they ain't stupid. They look at their mortuary register and they know. In fact, I spoke to a Scottish guy today who spoke to a funeral director in Scotland who does embalming. I'm not going to name him, but he gave me his contact details and I rung him up and he lost his bottle on the phone. I said, I'm not prepared to speak on an open line, you know, and he wouldn't talk about it. And the phone call ended. And ultimately, do you know what these people have to realise is the consequences of not speaking out are far more serious than the consequences of speaking out. You know, we need to bring these people, we need to stop it, and we need to bring these people to justice so that it doesn't happen again. Because, you know, if you sit there and think about your children and your grandchildren's future, you're doing them a great disservice covering for these bastards. You know, covering up this lie, thinking only of your direct debits, it's not going to be the way forward. The way forward is to tell the truth. You know, honesty is the best policy. There's a snippet of wisdom there that's lasted and will outlive all of us. Honesty is the best policy.
Absolutely.
You know, we've got to destroy this lie by telling the truth. And these people in the industry know. And they're frightened. And I get that. And don't think I wasn't apprehensive about being honest. But I realise that your kids in your family are just as important as mine. To me, they are. And I kind of come to the conclusion that people are just not wired like me. They don't really care about each other. They just care about their little world and their little house and their little direct debits, and the death of children and youngsters clearly doesn't mean to them what it means to me.
No, it's quite amazing, and I think you are right. It was one of the questions I wanted to ask you about. But before we get on to that, with the group that, you know, you went to meet this Member of Parliament with Mark Sexton and the other amazing people in that group. Now, what I found really fascinating, because for people that are watching this are going to be very well informed, generally speaking, and I hope they're going to share this with people that aren't so well informed. But the point is, John, is you found out through your journey, I found out through my journey, that the scientists, there were a lot of good scientists that knew exactly what was going on. So this wasn't some bad accident where people thought they were doing the right thing. And
No. I mean, if you follow the science... Follow the science. There is no science. If you follow the money, you'll find the science.
Absolutely.
That's the bottom line, you know. And you can even use their own weapons against them. You can Google search. Who do these people work for? Who funds these companies? Who funds them? Who owns them? It leads back to the same players, BlackRock, Vanguard. The same players, do you know? All owned by the same people. So the trouble is we have a society nowadays, they've dumbed everyone down. You look at mainstream school, for example. I've got a child who's quite intelligent, and he comes home every day really frustrated because there are no challenges for him in the school curriculum. They don't want geniuses in mainstream schools. They want plumbers, electricians. They want supermarket workers, people that drive for Amazon. They don't want the next geniuses. So we have a generation of people who come home, what do they want to do when they come home from work? They want Netflix, YouTube, TikTok, distractions, Johnny Depp's funeral, the next story, And they don't want to face the truth, and they don't want to look at the truth, and they don't want to even consider that their own governments might be trying to thin the population on behalf of someone upstairs who told them to do just that. I can tell you, when we sat down, so it was very interesting because this meeting contained, it was reported by, I believe, The Guardian or The Times, one of them reported as a group of anti-vaxxers. Let me tell you who was at the meeting, Professor Dolores Cahill. She was advising the government in her 20s. Dr. Tess Laurie was there. Dr. Sukharit Bhakdi, you know, he's a world-renowned, eminent guy. Dr. Sam White was there. Dr. Stephen Frost was there. Anna de Bissere, the lawyer, was there. Very nice lady. Who else was there? There was about 18 in total. Around 12 were sat around the table, and about six of them. Dr. Mike Yeadon was there, the former CEO of Pfizer. You know, the CEO of Pfizer was present at this meeting telling Sir Graham what was going to happen and what would happen to these people once they took this mRNA. And they went into layman's terms about the science behind it and said exactly how it worked. And that's exactly what's happening now. So I knew that if I spoke about that meeting and I told him, and then halfway through the meeting, they said to me, oh, Chatham House rules apply. And I'd never heard of Chatham House rules. What are Chatham House rules? Basically, what it means is you can criminally conspire, and Chatham House rules mean that nothing is said outside the meeting. You can't discuss it. You can't disclose who was there. And do you know when you're like, well, I didn't come on that basis, so yeah. I'm sorry. That's, for me, Chatham House rules is fine if you're forging foreign policy, creating some sort of secretive contract business deal that's going to, you know, not when you're talking about the lives of kids and youngsters being murdered by the state for profit. Look at the money Richie Sunak's got in these companies, in Moderna, you know, billions.
Oh, it's unbelievable. When, you see, the thing is, it's...
Okay, I think we're going to pause there. We might pick some more of this up on Friday. But John O'Looney is one of our a true hero. He is one of the real unique and unusual human beings standing up and speaking the truth. And he's enraged by it, by what he knows is happening. And he got onto it early. But we only have, think about it. How many people do we have out of the same mold as John O'Looney and Dr. Bhakdi and a relative few others? And I go back to what I've said so many times, that the alt media, in all likelihood, is about 90% or better created and or controlled or influenced by BlackRock, Vanguard, the Crown, the global elite, Klaus Schwab. They've all got their players out there, Soros. It doesn't matter. The alt media is not to be trusted without extremely careful deliberation and your own vetting. Whatever works for you, vet it. But don't just grab onto something. Now, what we're seeing with a lot of the alt media platforms, and it's nice to see, are things that we were talking about here a year and a half ago. And it's the downside of that is I do believe that the controllers are allowing a lot of this information now to come out because they've achieved their goal, and their goal was to shoot up about 6 billion people, which they've done.
So yes, they have. Yep.
They pretty well accomplished what the original game plan called for.
And I, you know, it doesn't have to be all mRNA or the viral vector vaccines.
No.
This phenomenon of people just dropping dead also seems to be happening with just some of the standard type vaccines. They're just either the killed virus or a subunit where it's just the spike. Seems to have the same consequences.
What happened to Novavax?
Which
oh,
is
it's really
still out there.
It's still out there. It's a laugh when you think about it. For those of you who don't know, and that's probably a lot of you, Novavax, well, to tell them what Novavax is made of. It's crazy.
It's pure spike, full-length spike protein that you would find on the exterior of the virus, the most toxic part of the virus, encapsulated in Matrix M. It's a type of adjuvant, and injected into the body.
Maybe trillions of units. We don't.
Yeah. Oh, I worked it out one day. It was
huge.
Something like 3 trillion.
There you go. And 3 trillion spike proteins from one injection of Novavax. What's wrong with that picture, beside everything? And yet it was rolled out.
Well, they already determined that there is a risk of myocarditis with that particular vaccine, that's now on the warning on the insert, package insert. But it has, many of the same consequences as the mRNA, even though the person is not producing it internally. It's having many of the same effects. It's docking onto these receptors. It's causing horrendous inflammation and blood clotting. Tinnitus has been reported with this one. Other types of neurological issues.
Dr. Nagase, if you heard Monday's program, you heard Dr. Nagase very clearly state how the spike protein, if it swarms the heart, doesn't even have to swarm it. If it just shows up in sufficient numbers, it'll stop the heart from beating electronically.
Yeah.
Bioelectrically,
yeah.
It'll stop the heart from beating, and you're down and out. That's why they can't bring some of these people back. Their heart is overrun with spike,
and
bioelectric signals can't go.
The spike can penetrate the brain, the blood-brain barrier, and in fact, it pretty much decimates it.
Right.
So it's free to enter the brain and do damage there as well.
Crazy. All right. That's it for tonight. Thank you all for being here. We'll come back Friday and keep tracking this horrific carnival of death. And it's not funny carnival. It's really macabre.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff.
Okay.
Good night, everyone.
All right, we'll be right back with another hour for you. Hang on.